You're about to listen to the Complete Developer Podcast, the podcast by coders, for coders, about all aspects of life as a developer.
I'm Will, the curmudgeonly experienced developer.
And I'm Beege, the optimistic newbie developer.
Complete Developer Podcast is supported by listeners like you. We are now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Complete Developer Podcast.
Welcome to another episode. This week, we are discussing starting your day off right with a morning routine. We'll break down our own routines and talk about how we get our day started. But before we get going, Will, what have you been fighting this week?
Well, we've been doing the Music City Code planning.
Yes, we have.
That was a good part of yesterday, and we still have more to go. You know, we're going to have a booth there, and you'll hear an advertisement for it here in a minute.
That's true.
Yeah, so there was just a lot to discuss, you know, since we're not really marketing guys, you know, we're not professional marketers, and so we had to dig quite a bit. The other thing is like, I have this weird contrast right now because I'm dealing with a lot of negativity at work with some coworkers that just keep on getting really, really negative. And then I come back here and I'm basically teaching you how to do all kinds of nasty things with generics and functions and not functions, but like the funk callbacks and .NET and, you know, dependency injection frameworks and how you can like mash all that stuff together.
Oh yeah.
That's
fun.
And like, you're all happy about it.
Yes.
it's just a weird contrast. I mean, I think the negativity will, you know, those things tend to work themselves out one way or another over time, but it's just a strange contrast between people that want to learn and want to grow and people that don't. I mean, I was going to totally couch that and like try to cushion the blow, but that's really what it is. It's people not wanting to grow.
I completely understand you because I've not had negativity because of people. Today has really brought out the Scott Irish in me because Git makes me want to drink and Microsoft makes me want to punch someone.
Oh, well. Yeah, I wonder, you know, like I've always wondered, you know, because I never have been to Scotland or Ireland. So like, are they like, I don't know if individually those two groups are like what the mixture is here.
Yeah, 'cause what we are. Yeah.
They can't be that belligerent.
I've been working the past few days to get this one project I've been brought onto up and running. I finally got everything good and going because the senior developer that recently quit, he had done things. He was a really good coder. His code was great. I learned a lot of stuff, which is what led to our conversation before here, where you were teaching me even more detail about what I learned just from reading his code.
Yeah, you said a couple of things, and I was like, oh, to the whiteboard.
Yes, exactly. That's what
And
happened.
Then you're like grilling me on it while I'm doing it. And I'm like, is this like a whiteboard interview? We just went through this weekend with Developer Launchpad. Don't do this to me, man.
It's really cool because I'm seeing so many things I can do with the stuff that I've learned recently.
Well, and you got to see me work out a whiteboard problem that wasn't just like, oh, yeah, here's how you do it. It was, I got to think about how this fits, what's going to go wrong. And yeah.
So I finally got everything kind of up and running. So I rewrote the API. His code was really good, but his design was kind of, I don't want to say arcane. It was like, I think I talked to you about it and you said, that sounds like the way we used to do it about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And not really up to what all the other code is. And so just to maintain consistency and, well, really to make it so that it'd be easier to modify later if we need to, I kind of rewrote it the last few days and finally got that up and running, threw it into dev. It worked. And then I went to merge dev into master. And .suo was the bane of my afternoon.
Yeah, that file, that's your user settings for .NET Solution. And what happens a lot of times is you'll get one developer working on a project and they check that file in.
Uh-huh.
And you probably changed one or two little settings and so it flagged it as a difference and you had other people on the team. And you get a merge conflict in a file you frankly don't care about.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's happened to me so many times. And
the problem is if you don't set up your git ignore through Visual Studio before saving that file.
Are you using GitHub or you actually have a private Git server? Because if you do GitHub and you set up a repository, you can actually tell it which git ignore file yeah. you want. But
well, we're using TFS.
Oh,
yeah. But
yeah, so are we. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah. I really do. But Microsoft is pretty good if you set your git ignore through Visual Studio.
Yeah.
But if someone else set up the git ignore, or if there's not one, I ran into that in test. There wasn't one.
Yeah, it's always entertaining to hear people, like, because most of the time people get stuck with TFS when they aren't expecting it. And so everybody says, oh, I have TFS too, like in the same tone as I had a car wreck last week too.
On the same note, I do kind of want to go on a little mini rant. The standards for JSON are camel case. And I don't know why, but you have to specifically set this in Newtonsoft.
They fixed that in core, by the way.
Okay. That's really good. But telling your junior front-end developer that they have to change because you can't send it in camel case is wrong.
That's just sad. And I think the other reason is that, if I remember correctly, the first time I saw Newtonsoft was, it might have even been before I used Microsoft's JSON serializer, and it was in the context mostly at that point of web forms.
Yeah.
And the web forms controls, if you access them in JavaScript, are not camel cased. And so people were having this expectation of how it interacted. Plus you had C# developers that couldn't do JavaScript. I mean, there's still hundreds and hundreds of them, but they're getting a payload back and it doesn't match what they saw on the server, and they don't know how to debug.
So
that's why they did that. Now, it should have gone away so very long ago.
But here's the thing. You find a way to meet the standard. I am a junior developer, and it took me only a few minutes to set that up in the config on people.
But, I mean, you know how to use Google and stuff. Anyway. But a lot of those people, like, they bring this stuff in, and they copied and pasted from Stack Overflow.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, that one little thing that they don't quite know and they're not real comfortable with, and it worked, and they got going, and it's like a cargo cult. You know, are you familiar with that? Like in the Pacific Islands, where you know they were doing something, and our warplanes and our navies landed, and all this stuff, and they get enriched for like 3 or 4 years while the war is going on, and then everything pulls off, and they're like, oh, if we do this stuff back, it'll, you know, if we do this again, these people will come back. That's the way, like, a lot of senior devs work.
Yeah, I've been dealing with situations that I didn't create for the past few days, and it has been a bit frustrating. Though, on a happier note, tomorrow I get to pick up my bus pass. One of the perks about working for the state is that I get to ride to and from work for free on the bus.
Yeah, and that's a big deal out here.
Yeah.
Because the traffic is not fun unless you leave very early.
Yeah. Of course, that's only going to be 1 or 2 days a week, but still, I don't have to worry about parking downtown.
Yeah. It's not the gas that gets you. It's
the parking.
Yeah.
But for those of you guys still needing help finding or keeping a parking spot, I do have something interesting this week for IoTs. This week for IoTs, I have something that will help you keep your parking spot. It's a little project called Nobody Parks Here. A quote from the website, "This is my spot, find yours." Using a Raspberry Pi 2B, Amazon's web services, and a Node.js wrapper for OpenCV, you can create a car recognition system to tell if someone is in your parking spot. It looks like it's a fun project. It only costs about $50. And if you don't have a parking space in mind, you could also use it to tell if someone is parked in your driveway or out in front of your home.
Nice.
I'll have a link for that in the show notes. So, Will, who's talking to us this week?
Well, we got a tweet from John Wells. He says, "At Complete Dev Pod, in your experience, does bumping up to business casual clothing help with management? Will spending some money now get us more money?"
Well, it won't hurt, especially if you are in a business-heavy environment.
Yeah, I think there's a few things that jump in here. The first is it's going to change your attitude, because if you're dressed, you know, slacker style like I am right now, like I went to work today, and you a lot of times will tend not to be as productive you know, because of the headspace thing. The other thing is it's more of a, I want to appear professional. You want to dress like you're a level above where you are because they start to see you as part of that club.
Well, the key is to look at what the other successful developers are wearing.
Right.
And mimic that.
Yeah. Other successful developers or managers.
Yeah. You and I have a friend who is known to say, dress for the position you want, not the one you're in.
Right. Which is a great way to end up in a disciplinary meeting dressed as Batman, but as an aside.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, try it out and see if it actually helps your mindset, because that's something you can control. Mm-hmm. The salary and stuff, like, that's going to be pretty hard to quantify, but if you see a difference in your mindset, that can still manifest as salary.
It's a longer term game.
Yeah.
Doing that. But hey, thanks, John, for the tweet. Send us a DM with your contact details, and we'll send you a Complete Developer water bottle. And guys, if you'd like your very own Complete Developer water bottle, leave us a review in iTunes or comment on the website or any of our social media. We post all our episodes to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. We're also on Path and Tumblr. Just want to say that our water bottles are currently on back order, so if you haven't received one, it will be on its way soon. We are also looking into a new source, but until then, we'll be sending them out as soon as we get them. Getting on into the episode, Will is a morning person and enjoys getting up early and getting going, whereas I'm
You're not. And we were college roommates, and this was painfully obvious.
Yes, I drag out of bed in the morning and usually get going strong in the afternoon and evenings.
Yeah. Whereas if I could, I would get to work at 6 a.m. I can't, you know, because my daughter, you know, her bus doesn't get here till 7:20, and then it's, you know, 30 to 40 minutes to get to the office. But
yeah, well, I mean, life and workplaces don't always care whether you work best in the morning or the evening. You know, they've got business hours and you've got time for family, church or social events, things like that, that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a morning or an evening person. They're scheduled when they're scheduled.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that's always irritated me is I talk to developers about this, and a lot of developers are not morning people. And I see a few things. One is I see them mostly complaining about having to get up early because they're not morning people. And what it really is they stayed up too late.
Yeah.
And they always stay up too late because they're, you know, they're evening people. Or they, you know, they have poor sleep hygiene. But the other thing that really gets me is the tone that it's set in is one of resignation to something they can't control.
That's very true.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm not an evening person, but I can work effectively in the evenings. I will change my habits where I'm not getting nailed by it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you have a morning routine to help organize yourself to be more efficient.
Right.
When you're at your prime. I have one because if I don't,
sleepy time.
Yeah, I will never get anything done.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be noon before I really get rolling.
Yeah, and I have an afternoon routine because that's when I'm bad.
Yeah.
At being effective.
So, we've broken this down into kind of three categories. What you do at home, what you do in transit, and what you do at work. Starting off at home, your morning routine actually starts the night before.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big deal because there's a lot of stuff you really want to get done the night before, just so, especially if you have a hard time getting up in the morning already, where there's less stuff and there's less stuff that can go wrong. That's the big thing for me is I don't want the variability because I can compress my schedule. So a big one for me is prepare meals and snacks for the next day. Now I bulk cook for the household anyway, but I also eat like sliced up bell peppers and stuff at work. I take those with me and I cut those up the night before.
Yeah, I mean, when I was going to work every day, and still sometimes when I have to go in 2 or 3 days in a week, I'll prepare my lunch and set it up kind of in the fridge, ready to just grab and put in the lunchbox in the morning.
Yep.
I also set up for making coffee in the morning because I like to grind my own beans. I'm a bit of a coffee snob.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite of that, right? Because my main thing is I want to have the caffeine. I don't really care how I get it, and Folgers is cheap.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, community coffee it's a little more expensive than Folgers, but it has the quality of the very expensive stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix there if you want to save some money, but you want to have like the good quality coffee. It's also from Louisiana, so yeah.
Oh, well, when you said community coffee, I was thinking of like every workplace I've worked that's had free coffee, and invariably the person that makes it basically really wants strong tea. Yes. Give me some ex-Marine drill sergeant making the coffee where, like, I could stand a spoon up in it.
Because oh, man, you want to talk about coffee. The best coffee I have had outside of a Turkish restaurant was my friend from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Made me coffee that he brought back when he went to visit his family. That was good coffee.
Yeah.
And strong. Though I will say, for those of you that don't get your coffee till you get to work, a little trick for dealing with, like, if you work in a bigger industry, for dealing with that industrial coffee is a little bit of salt. Like, a few grains of salt in the coffee will actually take out the bitterness in it and not make it taste like industrial coffee.
Interesting. I usually just put a little bit of creamer in there for that, but
I learned that from, well, some AA members when I was working as an addictions counselor.
Oh.
Because they know their coffee.
Yeah, they know really their coffee well. And they know their cigarettes. Yeah.
The other thing that you should do the night before is to lay out your clothes for the next day. Or if they're hanging up, you know, set them aside.
Yeah. I mean, with mine, it's all kind of just lined up. I have places for it. So it gets that way on Sunday. And I don't think about it during the week. So it's, you know, Sunday night gets me through all the way to Friday morning.
See, I work from home 3 to 4 days a week. So it's get up, put on a decent shirt for the morning meeting.
Yep. No pants, though.
Well, I'm wearing pajama pants. I have to walk my dog.
Yeah.
And then, because I'm sure I look goofy as I'll get out walking my dog in like a button down shirt and pajama pants, but whatever.
Yeah. They ask, you'll be like, I work from home.
Yeah. And then I hang that shirt back up and I spend the day working in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Now, when I go into the office, I go in every Wednesday and then sometimes, and I'll know the week before if I'm going in. And so I will plan that out. So I'll have what I'm going to wear put together before I go.
Yeah. And now when I do have to wear something nicer, like tomorrow, I'm going to a client meeting. I will have that laid out because I will not remember the next morning. Like that's not a thing. I cannot count on my memory that very first thing in the morning. Because I have a kid to get up, get cleaned, you know, get her cleaned up. I have to get ready. I have two dogs to walk. I have to feed them. I have to get everything, you know, in the car that's got to go and get to the bus stop in time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a lot. And it's like, I don't want to trust my memory for that.
I understand. Getting to the bus stop in time is going to be something new for me now.
Yeah.
But not for a kid, for myself.
Yeah. The other thing too is the night before, you need to be kind of cognizant or a little bit intentional about how you wind down. Get into a routine, do the same things before you go to bed. I typically read before I go to sleep. I also shower at night. You know, I have the thermostat set where it cools the house off. Like there's a whole bunch of biological triggers that tell my body, hey, it's time to go to sleep, which is great until the office is cold.
Yeah.
And then I have problems, but like it does a good enough job of setting that up. Also try to avoid caffeine past, 4 or 5 o'clock mm-hmm. in the evening. Sometimes that doesn't happen so well, but that helps a lot. So
now there's a few things that you don't want to do, including avoiding caffeine. And the first one is you don't want to check your work email right before going to bed.
Yeah. And this is something I actually do. This is an anti-pattern I engage in.
I don't do this because it'll be there in the morning and there's nothing I can do about it between now and the morning.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is I'm like, if I have to deal with an emergency at night, they'll let me sleep in.
Well, there,
of course, that really doesn't help me because I still have to get the kid to the bus.
Yeah. And my thought is if it's an emergency, they're not going to be emailing. They're going to be calling.
Yeah.
You may find stressful information and you're really not going to be able to fix anything until the morning. So all you'll end up doing is worrying about whatever it is you read.
Yeah.
Or didn't read, for that matter.
Yeah, I still do it. But I've had a few incidents of that. Not at this job, but at previous employers. But it's something that I feel like I should do. Because none of the other developers will do it. They'll all do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I do. I check my email first thing in the morning.
And that way, at least I can rally the team and,
The next is don't watch TV in bed before going to sleep.
Yeah. My wife and I do not have a TV in our bedroom. There have been different points we have considered doing that. But one of the main reasons is the bedroom should be for bedroom things. It should be for sleeping, for dressing, et cetera.
Yeah.
Not for laying around and watching TV. And, the other thing too, when you have two people in there, one person is liable to be awake watching TV and the other person's trying to sleep and getting light in their eyes. Mm-hmm. and noise. And
I completely agree. I haven't had a TV in my bedroom since I was a kid, and that was the only place I had for a TV.
Yeah.
But even then, I had a chair and a place for the TV.
Right. It's a weird habit, like falling asleep watching TV, because you don't really rest.
Yeah, I have friends that do that they fall asleep watching TV. I'm like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And like if there's something on the TV, I want to watch it.
And there's been a lot of studies, too, on the impact on sleep, and it's just bad.
Watching TV or playing video games can really reduce your ability to sleep.
And the same thing with playing on your phone, too.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want a screen in your face.
Mm-hmm. I struggle with that one. That's one that I try to put my phone away before I go to bed, because usually it's getting low on charge, and so I need to plug it in, and I let it charge overnight. And so I will usually put that away and then lay in bed and read a little bit.
Yeah, same here.
So
sometimes that works better than others.
Unfortunately for me, I get more into books than TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
So there have been times, certain instances in Terry Goodkind books where I stayed up all night reading.
Because Game of Thrones. I read the first 4 books in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anybody that's read those is probably going, holy crap. Because they're big books. And there have been some Terry Goodkind books that have done the same thing. You just stick with it. And
Yeah. You get that way. Another thing is, don't drink too much water.
Yeah. Because if you have to get up to pee 3 times during the night, you're not going to be effective in the morning.
Yeah. And try not to stay up too late. The next big thing is waking up. Alarm clocks can be your best friend or your worst enemy.
Yeah. They're a tool. They can keep you from oversleeping.
Yes.
However, and they can gently wake you up. I mean, I used to have a clock radio in college, and I had it like on the oldie station, and I swear that song about the morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball, that was on like, I don't know, like 48 times in a row or something when I was waking up.
It's still better than a bucket of water to the face.
Yeah.
I personally play music. I have different songs at different times, so I can wake up and I will know what time it is without ever having to look at a clock because of what's playing on my phone.
Yeah, and I probably need to do that and try to preempt it. My alarm is basically an air raid siren.
Yeah,
no. Except not as cool, like in that 40s London type thing. It's just harsh, and it's one of those noises you hear and you scramble to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else. I mean, I definitely wake up. I'm not happy when I do.
There's some mixed reviews to having music play. Some people say, "Oh, you'll hate the song." It's part of why I have different songs, but it's Lindsey Stirling. So, yeah. I mean, I love that music so much.
Well, even and I would rather
waking up to it, I am put in a better mood when I hear that music.
Yeah, I would rather hear music than have the radio on, because the radio you can't control, and most stations it's talk radio. You know, they're talking in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, look, I don't want to talk to anybody first thing in the morning. You know, even though I'm a morning person, I don't want to hear voices first thing.
Yeah. Another thing is, alarm clocks are agnostic to what part of your sleep cycle you're in.
Yeah. I mean, there's some newer tech that tries to get around this, but the basic problem is you have a sleep cycle that it varies on when you should wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can probably get into more of the biological reasons, but
we'll have another episode specifically on sleep at some point, but your general REM cycle is a 90-minute cycle. And so you kind of want to plan your sleep around that. When I was in medical school, one thing that my ex and I would do is we would allow each other to sleep for 2 REM cycles. We give ourselves a little time around it. So it'd be 3.5 hours of sleep time. So you'd have about 15 minutes to fall asleep and 15 minutes to kind of wake up.
Yeah.
But you would get 2 90-minute cycles. And if you wake up at the end of one of those cycles, you feel refreshed. Even if you've only had 1 cycle,
right,
you'll wake up feeling more refreshed than if you slept 8 hours and you wake up
mid-cycle,
halfway through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes your responsibility to set it and make sure you have enough time to sleep.
Yeah. I guess, do they have the stuff that like works with like the smartwatches or any of those type of deals that
they
can
do
detect that?
Yeah.
Because that might be something I need to look into.
You might want to look into it, because that does exist. And if not, the technology to tell you when you're in what phase of the sleep cycle it's there, and the technology to trigger an alarm clock is there and we can just build it.
Wire it up.
Yeah. that's just a couple of zaps away.
Yeah.
But another thing to beware of is the trappings of the snooze button.
Yeah. And I don't want to go into a rant. However, I find it really irritating that I have a device in my house who one of its primary features is literally to make the device not work.
Well, this gets you into the habit of ignoring the alarm.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to set it earlier and earlier. Like, I've done this, and I've been in this bad pattern, because you end up setting it earlier and earlier, to where I was setting alarms at 4:30 in the morning to get up at 8.
Yeah. You did that in college, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Because you had a loud alarm.
I remember that. It cuts into your sleep. In order for you to wake up on time, it's going to wake you up, and you're going to hit it, and you're going to hit it, and you're going to hit it.
Well, if you hit it that first time, and you know, then you fall back asleep, now you're at the beginning of a sleep cycle. And so when you hit it the next time, you're not
fully awake.
Yeah, you're not as able to wake up. Mm-hmm. The other thing it teaches you to do, especially if you know, I've got a Bose that has a remote.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you have to find the remote, which is not helpful. But if you don't want to hear that noise, you know, you hit the button and you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sleep over, you know, you oversleep.
Or you set multiple alarms.
Yeah, which is what we do.
It can be useful, though, if used correctly. For example, one thing I have done in the past is use the snooze button to let me know, okay, I need to get going. So I'll wake up and I may hit the snooze button and then play on my phone for a little bit, or check my email, or read, or something like that.
Yeah, and then all those things will wake you up too.
Yeah, it lets me know, hey, it's been 10 minutes. You know, it's time to get up and get going. Next, you really need to stretch before you get out of bed. This helps avoid injury and it will help wake you up.
Yeah, and you don't really have to go through like a full stretching routine. Just pop the major bits that tend to give you trouble.
Yeah. It kind of helps avoid pulling muscles and causing cramps when you first get up and start walking around.
And I'm sure there's some 25-year-olds right now that are going, why would you have to stretch before you get up? After you get to about 35 or so, you'll get up and you don't stretch, and you go to open a door and you twinge your back. It's, you know, like that will happen to you and you'll be like, wow, I'm ancient now. Like this just happened.
Yeah, you want to get into the habit early, because later when you need to do it, you'll already be doing it.
Yeah.
So once you've woken up, the next topic is first things first. You got to take care of your bodily functions. You need to go to the bathroom. I usually like to put on my glasses or contacts so I can see what I'm doing. And typically I'll go and grab some water while I'm preparing coffee.
Yeah. But you got to meet those basic biological needs that start turning on. You know, as your body wakes up, you know, it's like all the switches get flipped. Mm-hmm. And you might as well go and deal with it. Plus, it just makes the morning more pleasant, because there's nothing worse than going in and going, okay, I'm going to start assembling my breakfast and having to go to the bathroom, you know, in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and go. Get that over with. You know, but, and the other thing
put
is
that as part of your routine.
Yeah. And like, if you have a routine, the nice thing too is if you're used to, okay, I wake up, I go to the bathroom, then I go to the other things, like your body will go along with that. You know, it's your body is built to run on habit, not thought. We have, you know, 4.something billion years of evolution that's habit, and we only recently switched. So, like, use that to your advantage.
Exactly. Also, have some awareness of how you feel. You need to be able to adjust your routine if you're feeling bad. If you're not feeling well, if you're paying attention to how you feel in the mornings, then you'll know when you're feeling sick, so you don't get to work or get started going to work and have to call in. You can call in earlier.
Right. And that helps with preparation. And it's also just, you know, just being generally aware of how your body feels. Like, you can tell, like, if the food you ate last night or the beer you drank last night is starting to get to you.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed if I have a beer at night, one beer, I can tell a difference in how I feel in the morning, which is part of the reason I don't drink much at night anymore.
I guess I'd have to actually not have a beer to know what that felt like.
There you go. One thing I've noticed here lately is my teeth hurt a lot of times in the mornings because I clench my jaw at night. And that's a stress response. Like, just pay attention to those kind of things, because these are the things you need to be triaging during the day.
Now, each of us kind of have our own early morning routines. Mine involves waking up, going to the bathroom, and then the first thing I do after that is I go and I make coffee.
Yeah, you got to kick off your coffee first.
Yeah, because I grind my own beans and I get that whole process going. And then I walk my dog so he can go to the bathroom. Then I'll go do my normal, like, personal hygiene things, like shower, brush my teeth, my hair, put on deodorant, get dressed, those sorts of things. And by the time I'm done with all that, coffee's finished brewing, I go back to the kitchen, put my lunch together.
And you can start loading up the caffeine early so it starts taking effect.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So what I do is I start out, you know, go to the restroom. The dog comes with me because she's just like right there. And then the next thing I do is I walk the dogs so that they leave me alone. You know, walk them, feed them, all that stuff. Then I come in and I actually start getting cleaned up and getting dressed. So unless it is below freezing outside, I go outside in shorts and a t-shirt. You know, a lot of the time, not always, but I do kind of let it vary. You know, I pack my food, check my email. You know, I have to also, you know, get my daughter up at some point in there, depending on what time, you know, I start. Because I just have like at 6:20, I wake her up.
Yeah.
Give or take.
The other big thing in the morning is breakfast. Personally, I don't know. I got this from my mom. Neither one of us likes to eat early in the morning.
Yeah. Like the first 30 minutes after I wake up, like my stomach is not going to handle that very well.
So I usually, it's not 30 minutes. It's more like an hour or two for me.
Ooh.
Yeah. I can't eat the first hour or two I wake up. I'll be sick all day if I do. And so I usually wait till I get to work. I'll bring some yogurt and granola, or more recently, since I've been working from home and only going into the office once or twice a week, I'll grab a chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A because we have one there in the office.
Oh, yeah. I tend to get my breakfast on the drive-in. Of course, you know, I have to get my daughter ready, and there's just so much stuff to do at the house, and I have these little Atkins protein shakes, and I'll drink two of those on the way in. A lot of times, I also stop at the gas station. I get coffee. They have really good, strong coffee at the dailies there. And so, you know, that way I don't have to fiddle with my coffee machine at the house and all that. And I can, you know, start getting ready for the morning meeting. But sometimes I sneak a couple, two, three sausage biscuits from the gas station as well and put those on top of the protein shakes. But most of the time I don't.
The aim here is to get a lot of protein and fat in the morning and avoid a sugar spike that's going to cause you to crash.
Yeah. I mean, like if you look at the glycemic load of most Americans' breakfast choices, they're eating dessert.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, yes, you had two bowls of cereal and it's, you know, oh, you had like two bowls of Rice Krispies. I'm healthy. No, you're not.
No. No.
Your pancreas disagrees. Your pancreas may stop working soon.
So the last thing you want to do at home is planning and pre-work. And you want to review your schedule for the day, kind of look over your notes from the day before. Now, this helps you to remember when meetings are scheduled and just kind of know kind of what's going on, get an idea of, all right, where did I end the day yesterday?
Yeah. Of course I do this at the office because of, you know, we have slightly different constraints, but the other thing that you and I both do, I think, is we have like, we'll actually type in start here in the IDE so that you have a compiler error. So then you just get in and you build, you go, oh, that's where I was.
Yeah.
Because you'll never remember.
Exactly.
It makes a difference. And getting a rough overall idea of what you are going to do during the day helps. I mean, your structure is probably going to change as you go along. But if you have those kind of milestones, it's a lot easier to work towards those than, oh, I've just got this list of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, again, a rough idea of the day. So it's like, what am I doing today? What am I trying to accomplish at work? What am I going to do after work? Do I have plans for
what do I need for it? Do I need to have a nicer shirt? That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Even though I'll probably forget it. So that's why I do it the night before.
Mm-hmm. Then you also want to make sure that your audio is updated before leaving.
Yeah. Like download this podcast before you leave your house. That way you get it on your wireless instead of on your Verizon bill.
Yeah. And do some vehicle prep. So check your traffic and weather reports. Yeah. I know if it is anywhere near raining or the chance of rain.
Oh, if it's raining in Nashville, like most of the drivers have lost 50 points off their IQ.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, it could be the same day. It's sunny, takes me 20 minutes to get to work. It's raining, takes me an hour and a half to get to work.
Yeah.
Because people are just that. And it's not like oh, you can't see raining. It's drizzling.
Yeah. Well, drizzling's the worst.
Oh yeah.
But you know, you do have to kind of prep. You have to go, okay, if it, you know, if it's raining, I probably don't want to take the same route as I would if it was sunny. And you also want to clear off, you know, ice and stuff like that off of your car if you're having to deal with that, or, you know, dead leaves in the fall, pollen right now.
Yeah, just you need to take time to do those things, because I know when I was in high school, I would not do this.
Yeah.
And I would always get caught with the first frost of the year and be running late
already
for homeroom. Yeah. And get out there and my car was covered in frost.
Yep. And there's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah. Be late, or, you know,
risk it. Hang your head out the window going down the road. Yeah.
I can't cops say that I haven't done that.
I can't say that I haven't either, but cops don't like that.
No, they don't.
The other thing I like to do on the way in is kind of visualize the day, you know, kind of walk through what I'm going to do in my head. You know, think about what kind of stuff is going to come up during meetings. I also try to think about the code I'm working on, especially if I'm doing something difficult, to you know, trying to kind of get in that head before I get into the office so that I can hit the ground running. And, you know, typically I do that, you know, in the car on the way to the office. Mm-hmm. I shut off podcasts a lot of times, like 5 minutes before I get to the office, and start, you know, transitioning my brain, essentially.
Okay. See, I'll do this kind of stuff usually as I'm walking the dog, because I like to give him...
I'm just trying not to fall and die on my hill when I'm walking the dog. Oh, yeah. Like, well, that's the only concern.
You don't do like a long walk. I take mine on a longer walk. The apartment I live in, I've learned that the loop I live on within the complex, if you go around it twice, it is 0.9 miles. And if you go around the inner loop, that is 0.1 miles. So I can get...
And if you go halfway around the loop, they won't suspect it's your dog that left the present.
Another thing, just in prep, you do need to have your vehicle fueled before your drive.
Yeah, I mean, think about your transit. Like, you don't want to pack stuff in there, or you don't want to have the opportunity for things to make it worse.
Like, gas stations are rough in the mornings because everybody forgot to fill up before they got home, or they just didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
And so they're packed. You get in there, you're grumpy. You're going to be more tempted to grab unhealthy foods,
yeah,
and things like that.
Or you're rushed and you realize you're not going to have prep time at work now.
Yeah.
So you grab a few things. You know, of course, I do stop at a gas station just to get my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, I typically do not get breakfast food there.
This is another reason that I make coffee at home.
Yeah.
Is because I know if I go into a gas station to get coffee, totally going to be tempted to get some kind of dessert thing.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm bad about that. And that's why I don't do it. If it's not in front of me, I don't want it. But if I see it, I'm like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So. The other thing is on the drive in, I typically listen to podcasts. I tend to go for more software development podcasts on the way in and business podcasts on the way home.
On the days that I drive in, I typically listen to developer podcasts or audiobooks, both ways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, I only have about a 20, sometimes hour and a half drive, but usually it's about 20, 25 minute drive. So I'll listen to half of it on the way in and half on the way back.
Yeah. I think mine is, you know, my drive is including the stop at the gas station for my coffee, which takes like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me about 40 minutes to get to work.
Another big thing with your drive in is not getting too stressed out. I mean, commutes can be really stressful. Traffic gets backed up. There's random wrecks on your drive in. We've already mentioned how weather drops IQ 50 points.
Yeah, in Nashville, unless it's snow, and then it just erases it. You know, you might as well have dogs driving at that point.
Well, no, because when that happens, people with an IQ don't go out.
Yeah, and so you have like a survivorship bias.
Yeah,
and you know, and the only people that go out in snow in Nashville, it seems like they think, oh, hey, I have an Escalade, so I can stop instantly on ice. it's bad, but you have to kind of think about this and always be tweaking your route. And this is something I've learned to do over the years, because I used to just go, okay, I have a way to get to work. I go that way every time and I don't vary.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't do that. I'm constantly testing out new routes on the way in, and I even look at it in Google Maps, because one of my big things is I don't necessarily have to have the trip be the absolute fastest. I just want it to be reliable in the amount of time.
Yeah.
Because, okay, it takes me 40 minutes to get to work. I could get to work in probably 28. on the fastest route. However, that fastest route is got a big chunk of state highway on it and a school zone and all these other things where traffic will pile up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it may be 28 minutes most of the time, but when it's not, it's like an hour and 15 minutes. And I would rather take the hit of having to drive a little bit longer every day and never have to worry about that. The only thing on my route going in that I worry about, except for one little stretch of road, I have to worry about wildlife.
So yeah, that's true.
You have turkeys and stuff coming out and you got to honk the horn and, you know, get them to go away. But, like getting rid of that variance is a great way to cut the amount of stress that you feel going into the office.
I'm just going to say this again. You really do want to check your traffic and weather reports beforehand.
Yes.
Because if you know that one way is typically trafficy and worse when the weather's bad, you can avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, on the days that you look at the weather and go, oh, yeah.
Or if you know that one of your routes goes due east and it's a sunny day.
Yeah.
That traffic is going to be worse because the weather's good.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true.
Yeah.
That does make driving home really frustrating because I'm driving west.
Yes.
I can't wait to ride the bus.
Yeah.
So nice.
But I mean, it makes a difference. Now,
another thing that we should probably talk about is working from home.
Yes, because that changes all the equations.
It really does. One thing I like to do, and I mentioned this a little bit, is I get exercise by walking my dog, usually a mile or two in the mornings, and then again at lunch. And this is how I also kind of, instead of listening to motivational or audio learning via podcasts and books on my drive, I do it during the walk. Maybe it's a hangover from when I was driving 45 minutes one way and listen to a lot of podcasts, and I just really enjoy that. I'm not sure, but that's what I do.
Yeah, and when I worked from home, I have a monitor. I have four monitors set up and a desktop and all mm-hmm. that. But in the mornings, a lot of times, I would get, when I worked from home, I would get coffee, and I would go sit on my back porch with a laptop.
Yeah.
And work an hour or so there, and then come in and get to the other machine.
Working from home is one of the places where having a morning routine is really important.
Yes, you have to get in the headspace. The other thing, when I worked from home, is I dressed like I was going to work.
Yeah.
And, you don't lay around in pajamas and all that kind of stuff. And, I found that it was easier to stay on task if I was, kind of doing things as if I was going into an office.
I'm a little iffy on that because I don't. I'll put a dress shirt on for my morning meetings because we have a stand-up every morning where we video in.
Yeah.
And then I'll take that off and I'll be in pajamas and a t-shirt the rest of the day. But I also spent like two and a half years learning to code, coming home from work, changing into my pajamas, and then sitting at a computer and coding.
Yeah.
And so it is that mindset for me.
Yeah. You have to adjust for the mindset. Whereas mine is more, I've got more corporate experience. And so I'm
and that's true.
Fairly
and
careful about
it does fit like your mindset. If you are fresh out of school and you spent most of your coding time, in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Then that might be the best thing for you to code in when you're working from home.
Right.
So finally, we get to our last category, and that is when you get to work.
Yeah, and I have a routine there as well. Usually, I do have to hit the restroom because I've been on the road for 40 minutes. And in addition to waiting on my daughter's bus for 20 minutes and getting her ready for 25 minutes before that, you have to.
You sure it's not boss makes a dollar, I make a dime, so I'm going to poop on company time?
Not officially. No, I mean, you go in. You do that. And the other thing I do is I go around and I say good morning to everybody. And the main thing here is, part of it is I'm an introvert. Part of it is that, so that forces me out of my shell a little bit. But it also means that if there's an issue that somebody needs to talk to me about, they talk to me about it then on my terms versus me going over to my desk, getting 10 minutes into code and then getting interrupted.
Yeah, I understand that. We actually have a channel in Slack that is hashtag good morning. Because we started working from home, they wanted us to check in so everybody knows, hey, don't bother me until I check in. But they also kind of know when you check in, so the whole team knows.
Yeah, they know you're there.
Yeah.
And that's part of the deal too, right? So nobody's going around going, is Will here? Because what happens with that is people, you know, like upper management will hear is Will here, and they'll assume that Will's not been at his desk. You know, Will's AWOL. Will didn't show up. Will's sick. And they get that in their head. They may learn different, but they've already had the emotional reaction.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing that counts. So that's also, you know, me trying to preempt that. And frankly, just having a routine when you get to the office of the stuff you do, and then you're ready to go.
Yeah. And the same thing with working from home. You
if not
really,
more.
Yeah. So you really need a routine. And I have one where, like I said, I talked about my early morning routine. Well, once I'm done with that, I go and I sit down and I check in on the first thing I do when I turn my computer on is VPN and then check in on Slack. Well, sometimes I check in on Slack and then VPN. Sometimes I forget to VPN until I need to like get into a repo and I'm like, oh crap, I forgot to VPN. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But I will come in, I'll check in on Slack, and then I'll check my emails because morning's not my best time. One thing I did like about driving, especially when I had like a 45-minute drive, is that was 45 minutes for me to wake up before I got to work.
And so I need not check emails first thing.
Yeah. I need that kind of not doing really anything serious for a while. So like a lot of times too, meetings will get scheduled really early in the morning. Not for the early in the morning, but like my boss gets in at like 5 a.m. So she'll schedule a meeting when she gets in that will be at 11. And if I don't check my email until lunch,
yeah,
I missed a meeting without even knowing I missed it.
Ah, yeah. See, I guess I have the advantage of sitting in an office with my boss.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, if there's something major, you know, he'll tell me. But the main reason I don't check my email in the morning is that if there is anything in there and it's critical enough, they'll come tell me. If it isn't critical enough, I don't need to spend time on it. Like, because that time is extremely valuable. Like,
the thing is, you check your email before you go to bed.
Yeah. And I get 3/4 of my work done for the day before lunch.
Yeah, there's a difference there. I mean,
at least a lot of the time.
I get most of my work done about 2 hours after I've woken up. Between 2 hours after I've woken up and about 3 to 4 o'clock in the evening. From 3, 4 to 6, 7, I'm pretty much useless.
Yeah. I'm useless from about 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Well, I say useless, like I should not be writing code during that period.
Yeah.
That's a great time for me to have other meetings. It's a great time for me to do architecture. It's a great time for testing, documentation, that kind of stuff. And maybe light coding, fixing bugs. But, you know, for like the really deep focused work, I need to do that in the morning. And so I avoid the email because it has a tendency to chew up, you know, an outsized amount of time.
That's true. Another thing that if you're working in an agile scrum type environment, you're going to have to deal with is morning stand-ups, or even if you're not, morning meetings.
Yeah.
And first thing in the morning, after I check my email, I like to sit down and write out my scrum. Like, I keep in my notebook, and they joke about it being my work Bible because
it looks like a Bible.
It does. It's a black kind of moleskin. But the paper inside is graph paper. But I will write down the date. And then at the very top, done what I did the day before. Doing what I plan on doing today impedes what impedes me.
Yeah.
And that's what I say at my stand-up. I have tried to encourage other people to do this so they don't get off topic and they don't, like, meander. It's starting to take hold. Some of them are really picking up on it. It seems to be the teams that I'm on a regular basis. Like the team that I'm regularly on, we've gotten our morning stand up down to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we literally come in, say, done, doing, impedes. Oh, hey, I need to talk to you after the meeting.
Yeah. And I wish ours was that way. And I, you know, I look over what I did the day before and I make sure that I've got everything in my head. I don't write it down typically unless I have questions that and then I do that. But yeah, you want to be prepared for the morning meeting. Of course, ours goes over because we have a couple of people that like to get into long-winded discussions during the morning meeting and waste everybody's time.
Oh, I'll put a stop to that.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things that we agreed. Well, the team that I am regularly on agreed to it, and I've just sort of kept doing it. But that happened the very first stand-up I went to on this new team that I've been brought on to help out. And I just said, wait, this is off topic. If you need to talk about this with that person, y'all can do it offline or after the meeting.
Yeah.
But let's stay on topic for the meeting.
Yeah, because nothing will kill your momentum in the morning quite as effectively as an overly long meeting. And unfortunately, this is something I'm dealing with at work a lot that's really, really hurting.
What kills me is this meeting takes place right in the middle of my effective time.
Same thing here.
But because it's only 3 or 4 minutes long, I can plan around that. And like, I'm actually, usually I'm running unit tests while I'm in the meeting.
Right. And when I work from home, that's the other reason working from home is so effective for me, yeah, is because I work during the meeting. Yeah. I just mute my microphone and I keep typing, because obviously I type, you know, it sounds like, yeah, machine gun fire, right?
So, that's true. That's true.
You know, that has been a huge help because I'm basically getting another 45 minutes a day.
But I will tell you guys, if you have all your materials ready for your morning meeting, people notice that.
Yeah.
People ask you to give talks on how to behave in your morning meeting.
Well, the other thing is it just gets the stupid thing over with,
yeah,
sooner, and you don't have to talk as long. Like, it's just part of being prepared, because here's the thing with the whole morning thing is being prepared makes it where you can actually be comfortable.
Exactly.
The surprises is what gets you.
Well, you need to feel comfortable calling people out when they get off topic.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. And
you've done it on this podcast.
Yes, I have many times. I have no problem with that because it's a respect thing. It is a, I'm not being mean to you. It's, we're off topic. You're off topic. Let's rein it in. And then we can discuss that later. The next thing you want to do after you've planned for your morning meetings is plan out your day.
Yeah.
Plan your work day.
Yeah. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll just write out a quick checklist with blanks and then go.
Yeah.
And it's surprising just how cathartic it is when you mark those off during the day. It will.
It's no joke. And that's, I include this in my stand-up planning. So my doing is a list.
Right.
That I check off as I go through the day.
And I should probably start doing that again so that I can feel more effective.
It's amazing, dude.
It really is. Oh, I know. I used to do that.
And especially when like you have a long list and you just get on a roll in the morning and it's lunchtime and you've checked off
three quarters
of the list. And you're like, I can slack off half the afternoon and still finish.
Yeah. Or if you're like me, you'll be like, I can skip lunch and kill the rest of this list and then go eat and have, you know, an hour and 10 minute lunch.
Yeah. I do that too.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
Yeah.
You want to have milestones and a rough timeline for accomplishing your daily tasks.
Yes. And do not ever, ever show this timeline to anybody else. It's not for other people. It's for you.
Yeah. Now, again, I combine this with my doing, but I don't say, oh, I'm going to do this by this time, this by this time. I say, here are the things I'm working on today. And right, that's it.
Yeah.
On my paper, it is, I want to get these accomplished in this order. This is how I lay it out for myself, because it helps me to organize. Because when I'm like, all right, I finished that task, what do I do next? I look over at my notebook and I'm like, oh, that's what I do next. And then I start doing it.
Well, the other thing too is if you get to, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon and you've just got 2 tasks done out of 10 that you thought you would have done today.
Yeah.
You can tell your boss, hey, like, this is going to take a minute because I run into some problems, and you can get ahead of that. But exactly, you know what your estimate was before, so you're not thinking, okay, is this going to be a problem, because you did the estimate.
Yes.
You know, quickly. It also make you better at regular estimating,
mm-hmm,
without, you know, the consequences, because nobody likes to, like the scrum and agile planning type stuff, when people throw out estimates there, they don't like to be wrong. And so you pad the crap out of it, because now there's consequences. There's a project manager looking. Everybody knows you screwed up. If it's just yours, you can actually get the feedback loop to get better.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I've done it that way and not thought about it for that reason. But that makes good sense. The next thing you want to do is start your coding off with a quick win. This helps you start with higher motivation. You know, you feel like you're going to have a successful day when you set the tone with an early success.
Yeah. And you should be able to find some small task to go first. And it's also kind of like a warm-up thing. I mean, you can also do a coding kata, but this, get a victory quick.
This is the time where I like to do code katas if I'm not overly slammed.
Yeah.
It's like today, for example, I had to finish something and I did put the simplest task that I had to do today first.
Right.
But I had to finish, so I didn't have time for a code kata this morning. But this is a good time. This is the time that I like to do code katas, usually before the morning meeting. After I've done my planning for the day, I'll do a code kata, and yeah, I'll spend 30, 45 minutes on it, get a quick win, or I'll do something simple. Sometimes, you know, if I start the day at 7:45 in the morning, when I check in, check my email, plan my day out, it's about 8:15, 8:30 by the time I'm done with all that stuff. Spend 30 minutes on a code kata, and then I got an hour to code.
Yeah, because now you're warmed up.
Yeah, I got an hour to code before my morning meeting at 10.
Yeah, and the other thing I try to do with the easy things is if you consciously say, okay, I'm going to have something easy to do first thing in the morning, what you will not do is have a mass of code that you're halfway through.
Yeah.
To start on, because that really hurts. Because you got to try to figure out, you got to get it all loaded back into your head.
What's going on. I will say sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I just completely fail. Like this morning was a fail on that.
Well, I was going to say sometimes it's the end of the day and I'm just like, I can't do any better. I need to walk away from this and there's nothing else to really work on. Though a lot of times what happens is I will wake up in the morning and I'll have an idea and I'll be so excited about that. That I want to go try it, and that becomes my quick win because that idea works. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I have gotten up and either on the drive-in or while I'm walking my dog, getting ready in the morning, had an idea of, oh, I know how to fix that. I can't believe I didn't think of this last night. And so I go try it, and that's my quick win. And it's like the thing that was the huge problem yesterday becomes my quick win today.
And of course, once you get all this stuff done, you've set yourself up for success, right? You've gotten rid of all the variables that can cause you problems. Now you plow into the day, like hit it hard.
Yeah. Now is the time to jump into those difficulties. This is where you go to your start here that you left in your code. So,
well, you'll probably have to comment that out to do you the quick win.
But, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But this is where you go there and you start working there.
Right.
So no matter if you're a morning person or a night person, or if you get up early or stay up late and sleep in, you have to start your day at some point. We've discussed the ways we start our days. Use this to create a routine for yourself to get started right. It may seem difficult at first, but go back and listen to our episode on starting new habits. You're starting new morning habits with this, and it takes time, but eventually they will become a routine that you don't want to break. That pretty much wraps us up. Before we close everything out, Will, what do you have for us this week for Tricks of the Trade?
Well, I want to talk about the whole routine thing. And a lot of people have asked both myself and BJ, how we get so much done. And a lot of it, frankly, is we're constantly tweaking and we're constantly building habits. And the idea here being that you can't really make more than a certain number of decisions in a day. You're just not, mentally capable of that. And so what you try to do is you make some decisions just to the point where you can learn from it and then keep making better decisions. And when you get to a fairly optimal state, then you form a habit. Once you get the habit, you tweak something else. That pile of habits is really probably what you're seeing. If you're seeing us as, strangely effective. I mean, we both do have very good work ethics and we both work very hard and a lot of hours. A large part of the reason we're able to punch above our weight is not necessarily our work habit. It's that we have tuned to get efficiency, made that a habit, and then we tune something else. And that's just an approach that you really need to kind of internalize for yourself. And you'll find that within a year or two of doing that and taking that in, you tend to be more productive and more effective and less tired than most of the people you're around. So that's all I got.
Stand by for Titanfall.
If you have a question or comment for us, please email us at neckbeards@completedeveloperpodcast.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from Stand By for Titanfall by Pure Bells, available on SoundCloud and licensed under Creative Commons. The intro music for IoTs is Hillbilly Hip Hop by Jason Belcher. For references, show notes, and to sign up to our email list, be sure and check out the website at CompleteDeveloperPodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at CompleteDevPod and like our page on Facebook to keep up with the news about the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time.